Jeremiah 6 and 16, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 22 and 28. Notice what the word of the Lord says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Quickly reading one portion of scripture, Proverbs 22, 28. And the word of the Lord says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Stay on the old path. Amen. Stay on the old path. Would you lift your voices to the Lord tonight? Would you begin to pray that God would help us to stay on the old path? Come on. This is going to be as apostolic as we're going to get tonight. Come on, somebody. Stay on the old path. Come on, would you lift your voices? Prayer team, leadership, moms and dads, elders. Come on. Tarry ye. Come on. I'm going to push a little bit because we gotta go somewhere together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated. This. Stay on the old path. When we read this scripture setting of Jeremiah 6 and 16, the prophet tells us, that, "Thus saith the Lord."
Yeah.
This is not just something that the prophet was wanting to write just because, but Jeremiah was the prophet to the nation. Jeremiah, the prophet, was one of the major prophets. Him and Isaiah, one of the most prolific prophets. Jeremiah writes Jeremiah and also Lamentations, and he begins to tell the people of God to look for the old path, ask for it, and where the good way is, and when you find it, then walk in it, for you'll find rest for your souls. The scripture tells us to buy the truth, to sell it not. And Jeremiah continues to write and tells us in our scripture text, "I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." When you begin to look at that word watchman, it's somebody that, a man that watches, but in its definition, it's as if a man is kind of peeping in through a peephole or leering through and kind of inching in closer to get a careful view about what he sees. And yeah, he's looking, just kind of a watchman to see is what I'm seeing correct? Is, yeah, what I'm seeing, what I really am seeing. So he's kind of up on the tower and he's kind of looking out because, in those days, we don't know for sure, but they probably didn't have they definitely didn't have the computer gadgets we have now, but who knows if they had cameras. And so he would have to have a careful eye, a careful view to say, I see danger up ahead. I see some things that are coming down this road. I think the enemy is coming. I think there's a disaster. I see some trouble that may be coming. And so that's what a watchman would do. He said, "I've set a watchman over you. I've sent a pastor, a preacher over you to hearken to the sound of the trumpet." The book of Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through the prophet to for us to seek the ancient pathways. But the folks, he said, would say that they're not going to listen. They're not going to hearken. The people were at a crossroad needing to choose the way of the Lord and to continue down the path of righteousness, and not to continue in a form of religion that would ultimately lead to captivity. But you've heard Pastor Panero say it before, and I'll say it again, but religion never saved anybody. Religion did not die on the cross for our sins. Religion does not heal, and religion does not forgive sins.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There are many people today in the world that have religion and are religious, but they have no relationship with the Lord, and they have no spiritual dominion with God. I'm not interested in having a religious church. I'm not interested in having a religious experience. I'm not interested in being religious. I desire to be faithful and steadfast in serving the Lord. Serving requires commitment, and it requires work and effort. Serving, when you think of a server, I want you to think of whatever your favorite restaurant is, or wherever you would go to eat if Brother Bonham was paying. And where you would go to eat, and the server would come up to you, and they would ask you what you wanted to drink, and within a few minutes or seconds they would bring you what you wanted to drink. They would take your order, they would set out the utensils to eat, they would clean up after you, and it's serving. And that is what we are required to do. This is what God has asked us to do, is to serve Him. It's serving, it's performing something, it's supplying something, it's doing something. It's having a specified use. Living for God requires us to do something for Him.
Right.
It requires us to serve the Lord. Serving takes action. Serving takes responsibility. Serving takes discipline. Serving takes submission. Serving requires many times doing things that we don't like. I know that there are probably servers at restaurants that don't like it when we show up at 5 minutes till closing with all 10 of our friends, and we're all hungry, and we're going to order appetizers and food and dessert, and we're going to fellowship and act like it's 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and we expect the same level and quality of service, whether it's 5 minutes to closing or it's the middle of the day. That's the same thing with our Lord. He requires and He wants and He needs us to serve Him.
Amen.
We have a level of expectation when we go to a hotel to ensure that if we've paid for a room, that our room would be clean, and that the linens would be clean, and that the towels would be clean, and there won't be somebody else's dirty clothes in the room, and that if you don't put the do not disturb sign out on your room, that within a reasonable amount of time somebody's going to come and clean your room. God expects us to serve Him. He expects us to have a walk with Him. He expects us to ensure and to know that we are serving Him. We are not serving man. We are not serving a company, and we are not serving a set of rules. We're not just serving the Lord on just a couple days or hours of the week.
Right.
Joshua 24:14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord," or have reverence for the Lord, "and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods, little g, which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Joshua, in what it would be his farewell addressed to the people and to the nation that he loved and that he led, settled some things to those people. He said, "Fear the Lord," or "have reverence for the Lord, and serve Him." The besetting sin of Israel was disobedience and idolatry. And I believe there's some of that same lingering spirit today in our postmodern era of disobedience and idolatry. Joshua knew, and so he hits the nail on the head when he tells the church, you got to have reverence, and you got to have or respect the Lord, and He's got to be the sole object and focus of your worship. You worship God. We worship God. It's already been settled, the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. We worship only one God, and His name is Jesus. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That is the biblical way. It's the only way. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. You won't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but you will find oneness and one God and one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God who's above all, through all, and in us all. And then the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This was established from the earliest days of the scripture of the holy people of age, what we would call the old timers, where it was established from Moses with the Lord with the commandments. That is the old path. We are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then he goes on to say, and these words which I command this day shall be in thy heart.
Yeah.
It's got to be in our heart.
Yeah.
You can't just talk about it.
No. Right.
It's got to be in our heart. Then he said, and then you shall teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk to them when you're in the house and when you walk and when you lie down. And when you get up in the morning, and it shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thy shall be frontlets between thy eyes. It was a serious thing. This gospel message, the oneness of the Godhead is a serious thing. We are not just apostolic Pentecostals because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're apostolic Pentecostals in demonstration, in lifestyle, in belief and in doctrine, and that's who we are. It's just not a separation of, well, we speak in tongues and the preacher screams and gets real excited, and the music's a little bit loud, and we make peanut brittle, and most of us like to eat after church. But we're apostolic in worship. We're apostolic in our preaching. We're apostolic Pentecostal in our lifestyle. That is the only way. We got to stay on this path. It is the old path. It is the path that God established himself. It's the only path worth staying on. It still takes repentance. It still takes being born again of the water and the Spirit to be saved. That is not a new way, friend. That is the only way. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm reading from John 3:5. John 3:6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit.
Yeah.
Marvel not, I say unto thee, he must be born again. Repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is the only way.
That's right.
It's the only way. Peter stood and declared in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is a name. It's not a title. It's a name. It's his name. You write Jesse Pinero on a check, and that's a name. But I'm a pastor, and I'm a father, and I'm a friend. But my name is not friend. My name is not father. Those are positions. Those are titles. But my name is Jesse Pinero. Can I tell you? It still takes repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues. You have to speak in tongues in order to have the Holy Ghost. They may tell you, copy me. They may tell you, repeat after me. But that's not the Holy Ghost, friend. The Holy Ghost is when you speak in other tongues and as the Spirit gives the utterance, and then you receive power. Dynamite, explosive power. It's the plan of salvation. It's the plan of redemption.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned that there are some that have gotten distracted and falling prey with the attitude of just lip service to the Lord. We mumble a prayer. We pray for our food. We say that we'll pray for you, but we don't pray for you.
Right. Come on now.
Oh, I'll pray for you. Keep me in prayer. Okay, I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
I don't pray for you. Right? I'm guilty of that myself, Brother Lindsay, if I'm being transparent. Well, let's pray about it.
Yeah.
Then you go all throughout your day and Sister Walker don't really pray about it. I had good intentions, but am I lying or? I'm just saying, but worse yet, we come into the house of the Lord and we won't even lift our hands in the presence of a holy God. The old path was not established because people didn't pray.
Right.
The old path was established, built, sustained, and maintained because people prayed.
Yeah.
It was Azusa Street in the 1900s, early 1900s. It started because of a prayer meeting.
Yes, they made that right.
It's the old path. We got to stay on the old path, Revival Tabernacle. With prayer and reverence for the house of God and the things of God. Where we can pray like they did in the book of Acts. In Acts 4 and 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I don't know about you, but I have some things in my life that I want God to shake. I don't want no parasites on my walk with God. I don't want no leeches that are going to suck things out of me. But I want those things. I want it to be like a mosquito. When he bites me, he flies away and says, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's what I want. But when the devil comes to mess with us and say, you know what, that's God's child. That's God's people. That's God's church. That's a holy church. That's a holy person. The early church was built on prayer. The apostles prayed. Jesus prayed. And if we pray, we will be able to withstand against all the wiles of the enemy. Jesus tells us in Matthew 26 and 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The reason why some of us are entering into temptation is because we're not watching and we're not praying. But if you watch and pray, you won't have a problem. You won't enter into temptation. Temptation will come your way. It'll be standing right at you. You'll be looking right at it, but you won't enter into temptation. Come on, somebody. We got to stay on the old path. We're apostolic Pentecostal. We're not a denominational church. We're a church of fire and filled with the Holy Ghost. The old path was about feeding the spirit, not the flesh. The old path is not looking for a different path or a new path or the easier way. It was, I don't know, it was probably a couple months ago, the three of us, Brother Andrew Duart went as well. They actually took Brother Lindsay and I on a dirt bike quad. We went to some trails, and sometimes we would get separated, but it was easy to stay together even though we were a distance apart if we stayed on the path. That was just one thing I kept telling myself, because they're a little bit more experienced riders, and they would go ahead of us, and they would kind of chart the way, and sometimes Brother Andrew would wait for us just to make sure it was clear, and they'd clear the way. One would be in the back just making sure we're riding together, because Brother Lindsay and I weren't as experienced riders and hadn't rid out there before. And so that's what it was. One was watching, one was looking. And I remember telling myself, I'm just going to stay on this path, and if I get separated, I could just make a U-turn and I can go back, because the path that was on was obviously proven. There was landmarks there. There was signs there. There was places that if I got lost, I could just look at the sign. I could look where the tracks were and be able to get back to where I was. Saint of God, we cannot remove the ancient landmarks. We cannot remove the things that have been established by the Word of God, whether they're standards, whether they're house rules, whether they're biblical principles. They are what they are. And if we're going to be apostolic Pentecostal, we got to have boundaries. We got to have borders. We got to have limits. Somebody say amen. Amen. Landmark was actually a court or a boundary. It was, it could have been stone. And to move it in Bible times was considered thievery or theft. You begin to move that boundary, it was like you were trying to take, you were stealing. It was thievery. And in fact, where my family's from on my father's side, they don't have fences or wooden fences like we have now in the islands of the Azores. I could relate to this specifically, because they have these, they may be 2 foot high walls. And it's old volcanic rock, most of them. And what they are is they're dividing, and they're hedges. And in fact, in some areas, and they protect areas. And then in some areas, there's, I would say, maybe I'm exaggerating, but millions of hydrangeas all over the place. And they act as hedges and boundaries and what we would call, fences today in our communities. But those were clearly markers. They were clearly identified of that's somebody's property. That is somebody's territory, or you need to stay away. Don't go on the other side of those rocks or those hydrangeas, because there's danger, or no trespassing, or it's not meant for you to go that way. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 19 and 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. It referenced property of what God has given given as an inheritance. God has given us an inheritance. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Can I tell you that we are the property of God? The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you've been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are God's property.
Amen.
I know Kurt Franklin sang it 20 years ago, but we are still God's property. Whether that song is old, whether it's real old, if the message is still true today, we are God's property. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We need to remember and stay on the old path. The old path understood that they were God's children.
Amen.
They represented Him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. I like what it says, Sister Kendrick, in the New Living Translation. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you.
Right.
You say I'm allowed to do everything, but not everything is beneficial. Where have we gotten to? If you can't point your finger on it already tonight, Pastor's after something in the Holy Ghost, but forgiveness is not a bad word. Where have we come to the knowledge of forgiveness is a bad word? Forgiveness is part of staying on the old path. Matthew 6 and 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I love that. That's awesome. Anybody love that?
Amen.
Nobody? Anybody Amen. Glad that if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father is going to forgive you?
Amen.
But notice this. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Right? Righteousness is not an ancient word.
No, it's not.
Righteousness is not a word to be afraid of or an outdated word.
Right.
Staying on the old path is righteous. Righteousness is part of the old path. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Righteousness is right. Being right standing with God. But notice this. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators. So that means that you could not fornicate, but you could be unrighteous and you're not going to inherit God. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. Nor idolaters or adulterers or effeminate or abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves or covetous, nor drunkards, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But I like what it says. And such were some of you. Brother Bonham, that's who we used to be.
Yeah.
We're not that anymore. That was the old path. That was before Christ. That was BC. That was before the Holy Ghost. That was before baptism in Jesus' name. That was before you knew better. But now you know better. And such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You are justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Saints of the Most High tonight, we gotta stay on the old path. There's not a need for the new path. We gotta stay on the old path. Behold, all things are passed away. We gotta make sure, saints of God, we don't go back and say, well, I've been delivered. Now I'm gonna start a new path. No, you don't start a new path. You stay on that path that delivered you. And you just go further down the road. And you just go deeper down the road. You stay on the righteous path. You stay on the holy path.
Yeah.
Holiness is not an outdated term.
No.
Holiness is not a bad word.
No.
Somebody say holiness.
Holiness.
See, it's not a bad word. Holiness is not just for those that are in leadership.
Right.
The pastor.
Right.
Or the platform. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Holiness is not all internal either. I know we struggle the most with internal holiness, and we can dress up, we can put a suit and tie on, you can wear you can not cut your hair and wear long skirts and still have our mouths filled with ugliness and vile and idolatry and wickedness and curse God or man with one and bless God in another sentence, and we're filled with all sorts of sin and vices, and we're not fooling anybody, especially not God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Psalms 19 and 14. Let's go to verse 19 and chapter 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? This is powerful. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults. Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Don't let them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright or holy or righteous, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God. Yeah. It's not in the sight of man. Or though it's not just I gotta clean up for Sunday night service.
Right.
But oh God, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Brother Drozdik, I'm gonna ask you a question. Where is God at?
Everywhere.
So, sir, does that mean that we gotta let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable everywhere? Everywhere. Saying of God, I hope if you don't get anything tonight out of this message, that this verse right here, I'm going to use the word torments us throughout the week and say, you know what? Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, I want to walk on the old path. Oh God, I don't want to veer off, Lord. I don't want a new religion. I don't want a new Pentecost. I don't want a new church. I don't want a new age. I don't want a new revelation. But God, I want to walk on the old path. God, I want to walk on the path that Moses walked on, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua and Joseph. I want to walk on the path of the apostles, God. I want to make sure I walk, God, on the path of Peter and Paul and James and Nathaniel, God, and Bartholomew, God. I want to make sure I walk these paths, God, of Esther and Ezra and Nehemiah, God. I want to walk these paths of Joshua, God. I want to walk the path of Bishop Keys, God. I want to walk the path, God, of the elders of age, God. I want to make sure, God, that I don't, God, stir away, God, but I take it higher and I take it deeper, God. Oh, God, people died because of this book, God. People were martyred. They're still dying today because of this holy book, oh, God. I want to stay on the old path. I'm tired. I know I may be tired, but I'm on the right path. I'm on the proven path. I've come to declare tonight to Revival Tabernacle that this is an apostolic church. In fact, this is an apostolic Pentecostal church. And an apostolic Pentecostal church has holiness internally and externally. We cannot be one without the other. I'm calling all of us to ensure that we stick to the pattern of holiness internally and externally, that we maintain the pattern and precedence of this holy book. And the scripture says that woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither a man shall put on a woman's garment, for all that do so is an abomination unto the Lord. What would the world look like if we all followed the new age path? But God's not looking for a new church. He's not looking for a new people. He's looking for a holy people without a spot, without a blemish. I need your help, RT. Some of you have gotten a little laxed with your holiness. You've mistaken my love and my long-suffering for weakness. But I'm telling you, it is a holy church. It's a righteous church. And we need to stay on the old path. The old path is right. We've gotten a little lax in some areas. I don't see everything. The bigger it gets, it happens. But we gotta reel it in. You gotta reel it in. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We cannot rely just on RT Kids and Sunday School and Friday Night Youth to teach our kids about biblical principles.
Right.
I get 3 hours a week. That's it. If I'm preaching both services, I get 3 hours a week. I do not preach all three services every single week. You have more time with your kids. You got more time with your family. That Stronger Families ministry is one of the greatest ministries we've ever started, but it is only once a quarter. And we got those devotions. You ought to buy. We ought to be sold out. We should have sold 100 of them, but we ordered 20 and we haven't even sold all 20. Do we want to be an apostolic church? Do we want to be a Pentecostal in lifestyle? We want to be separate from the world. I'm calling us back to a lifestyle of complete holiness, abstaining from all wickedness of the world. The old path is the right path. You'll find rest for your souls.
Amen.
He says that you're a chosen generation, a holy people, a peculiar people. It means we're different.
Yeah.
That we should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
Which in times past you weren't a holy, separated, peculiar people. But now you are.
Yeah.
He gives us an out. He says, you weren't before. In fact, there was a time where God winked at ignorance. And He says, well, you didn't know before. You couldn't have been held accountable before. But now you know. Some of us know better.
Yeah.
And we're just pushing the limits. Some of us know better. And we just want to see how far we can get to the... Can I tell you? I don't need to walk the Golden Gate Bridge to realize if I fall over, I'm going to die. I could just see it by walking. There's some things that you can see just by knowing. There's some things that say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. You know, Pastor Panero, for me, I could walk into some places and it's okay. But there are some places in the city of Fresno that they're good places and you can all go. But for me, I can't go. I got to stay away because it's part of who I used to be. And I'm not that anymore. There's nothing wrong about that place. It's not illegal. It's not against the law. If they're great restaurants, they're great places. But for me, it takes me back to a time and a place before the Lord where I say, you know what? I don't want any of that to enter into my mind or into my heart. There's some things that I'm not going to bring into my home. You know why? Because I'm not okay with adultery. I'm not okay with fornication. I'm not okay with murder. I'm not okay with alternative lifestyle. So I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to listen to it because I am a holy guy. I'm living a holy life and I'm going to a holy city.
Amen.
Somebody say
on the old path.
So listen to Pastor. Somebody say it's all good. How many want to get to heaven?
Amen.
So I'm the watchman. Sometimes I got to walk in, I get a leer in and say, I don't look right.
Yeah.
Got to fix it.
Yeah.
Got to make sure you're right. Because the last thing I want to hear and see when I bow my head and I'm there before the Lord standing with you and you to look at me and say, why didn't you tell me, Pastor? And I'd be judged for that. I'd rather you tell me and be mad and stay home for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month and say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. Or for you to say, Pastor, I hear you. I appreciate it. I'm going to do this. But Lord, but I understand what you say, Pastor. I see it in the Word of God. You know what? I can deal with that. But you can still come and worship the Lord. I'm still going to love you. I'll answer your phone call. But I don't want anyone to ever say, well, Pastor was okay with it. Pastor didn't deal with it. He didn't talk about it. I want you to know I love you and I want to help you. I want you to get to heaven and I want you to be saved and I want you to be blessed and I want you to walk those streets of gold. I don't want us to be cursed. But we got to be careful what we bring into our lives and our homes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Does anybody here have an itching to murder somebody?
No.
Or to get drunk? But will we watch and condone, whether it's YouTube or not, things that promote, solicit, sustain, or are built on those lifestyles? You may not do them, but are you avoiding them?
Right.
Psalms 101 and 2 says, I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When you break down that word perfect way, it means without spot, blemish, free or upright or righteous. When that will come unto me, I will walk within my house. With a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall not depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. It's pretty straightforward right there. Brother Nate, it's pretty legit. It's the old path. That's the old path.
Yeah.
Anybody thankful for the old path?
Amen.
Anybody want to stay on the old path?
Amen.
It's called serving the Lord and staying on the path of righteousness. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, I have an expectation, Sister Gutierrez, when I come to the house of the Lord, that someone's going to be healed, delivered, set free, or filled with the Spirit. I have an expectation that when we get into this place, that somebody's going to be blessed and healed and helped. We preached about it this morning. But I also have an expectation, Sister Rivas, that if all of us were to pass away tomorrow, that the next generation would continue on the old path. Acts 2:39 declares it, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You know what the craziest thing is, Sister Thompson? That I'm 42 years old, and I pray for my grandkids that they stay on the old path.
Yeah.
We got to stay on the old path, because this, on the old path, is where we find rest for our souls. Mm-hmm. Not everything stays the same forever. People change. People grow older. Don't we all want to look as young as Pastor in your 40s? People forget. I don't dye my hair, I promise you. They don't see everything or are aware of everything, but God does. Hebrews 4 and 13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I'm not looking for a new Pentecost.
No.
But I want to walk in the same pattern of apostolic doctrine and demonstration and holiness of lifestyle that the apostles left us. God's word doesn't change. Malachi 3 and 6 declares that I am the Lord and I change not.
Amen.
Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel doesn't change. The plan of salvation doesn't change. The word of God doesn't change. And holiness doesn't change.
Right.
1 Peter 1 and 24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Scripture tells us in Psalms 1 and 1, "Blessed is the man," notice this, "that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Man, that'd be a good Wednesday night. "Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Just do a Bible study for yourself this week on Psalms 1 and 1. Do that. We got to stay on the old path.
Amen.
The old path requires an honest self-evaluation about us. And it uses the Bible as the measuring stick. We need to get a spiritual microscope and examine ourselves before God. Let every man examine himself. We read that scripture once a year, around December, January. Let a man, but it ought to be a daily thing where we look in the mirror and to see how good looking we are, right? And to make sure should I shave today or not? Should I wear a collared shirt or not? You know, did I get all the sleepies out of my eyes? And then we should look at it and say, you know what? Let me examine my heart spiritually, oh God. Is what's been in my mind and my heart and my thoughts, Lord, is it pleasing to you? Do I have clean hands and do I have a pure heart?
Yeah.
Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's God's pleasure. It doesn't say, well, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do today for my pleasure. It says, it is God which worketh in you both to do His will and His good pleasure. It's the old path. The old path requires us to be submitted and obedient. Scripture says in James 4 and 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Yeah, to God. "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." He doesn't say to submit yourself to the devil, to sin, to wickedness, to your boyfriend, to your boss, to your neighbor. It says submit yourself unto God. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, "Obey them which have the rule over you, the watchmen, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." It's not unprofitable to me, it's unprofitable to you. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful," not rich and famous. Faithful. The old path requires faith and faithfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Faith and faithfulness. Hebrews 11 and 16. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. Scripture says it's impossible.
Right.
It's impossible. This old path, and I'm coming almost to a close, this old path is going to require sacrifice. Requires doctrine. It requires the plan of salvation, which is doctrine, one God. It requires holiness. It requires faith and faithfulness. It requires obedience and submission. And it's going to require sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13 and 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God once a year during missions conference. Just once a year. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The old path requires sacrifice. Yeah, sacrifice. That is not an old-fashioned term, Brother Green. Where have we gotten, this weekend I've been pastoring, where have we gotten to where sacrifice is a bad word? It's offensive. You know, where have we gotten, Sister Castillo, where sacrifice is becoming like, well, you know, I don't need to sacrifice. Well, everybody's going to sacrifice whether you want to or not.
Yep.
He'll get you to sacrifice. You know, the tax man will come and you sacrifice somehow. Everybody pays.
Yep.
One way or another. The old path. The Bible says that if we stay on this path, we're going to find rest for our souls. Rest for those tired souls. Those that are tired in body and mind and heart. Rest for the weary. Rest for the confused. Rest for the journey. Matthew tells us, come unto me all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're not laboring and you're not heavy laden, you're not going to get rest. Why you need rest? You're not doing anything. If you're not serving the Lord, why you need rest? You're not doing anything. That's why living in the world makes you tired. Yeah, because you're serving the devil. You're going against what you should be doing. That's why when people, they're living in the world and they're spun out of their mind and they're living in, obviously they're definitely not living for the Lord. I'll just put it that. And they're just like, they're losing it, right? In more ways than one. Yeah, it's because they're not getting rest, and He's not going to give them rest if they're not coming to Him and they're not working for Him. If you're serving the Lord, He'll give you rest. Come on, somebody. The reason why some of you are in a perpetual cycle is because you're serving the wrong master. No man can serve two masters. You're going to love one or you're going to hate the other. You're going to cleave to one or you're going to cleave to the other. We got to stay on the old path. The old path will give you rest for your soul. We're getting into the last of the last days. This ought not to be a scary time. We ought to be concerned. But this is a time of growth. The Bible tells us we're going to have great revival. We are seeing great revival at Revival Tabernacle. I know it's kind of a conundrum, but we are seeing it's happening. It's not a surprise. One of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my ministry since I've been here. I got on Wednesday night. Someday I'll share it with you on Wednesday night. But somebody that pastors one of the biggest churches in our movement who gave high regard for Revival Tabernacle. Can I tell you, we are experiencing apostolic demonstration revival right here. Now's not the time to back up. Now is not the time to say, well, I think I'm going to try a new thing and a new path and this is not for me. No, now is the time to dig in and say, you know what? I'm all in. Sometimes it don't look like it. Sometimes it don't feel like it, but I'm going to stay on the old path. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to hold back. I may get tired. I may slow down. I may have to sit down and catch my breath, but He's going to give me rest.
Amen.
So we stand tonight. The musicians would come. I'm sorry I didn't give you enough notice, musicians. I apologize. But Jeremiah 31 and 25 says, for I have satiated the weary soul. And I like this part. And I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Every sorrowful soul. Brother Nate, that's encouraging. Sorrowful soul. Everyone, He'll replenish. New Living Translation says, for I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. The old way isn't always the most popular. It's not. It's been known to be abandoned from time to time. Folks are leaving the Bible for different books because they're spiritual. They have their place and time, and I read other books, but I live and I abide by the Word of God. Scripture tells us such a powerful, convicting verse. I'm going to read to you. 1 Peter 4:7. In fact, they put it on the screen. You might want to take a picture, write it down. It's powerful. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. Watch under prayer. Now's not the time to get drunk on the world. Just be sober. Be alert. Right? Sober living. Sober lifestyles. Be sober and watch unto prayer. That means be alert and pray. I declare tonight that we walk the old path. We stay on the old path. And we do it together. Because the end of all things is at hand. We gotta be aware. Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Yeah. So I'm calling one and all tonight to unity of prayer, to unity of holiness, to unity of worship, to unity of forgiveness, to unity of obedience, to unity of sacrifice. As we push through, as we go higher, and as we go deeper what God has called us to do. How many want to go higher tonight? How many want to see God do greater things and deeper blessings and see your friends and family sit in the pew next to you? And we have to have multiple services. And come on, somebody. We're going to build a church. We're building a church, but it's going to be an apostolic church. It's going to be a Pentecostal church. It's going to be a holy church. It's going to be a revival church. And God's going to use you to build this church. I wonder tonight if we would come to the altar, one and all, as a collective body of unity. If you're with me and you want to walk this old path, I invite you to come to the altar tonight and stand unified and just pray that God would help all of us. Some of you have got children, grandkids, spouses. Look, everybody's growing at their own pace, at their own way. There's folks that have been in the church a long time and they don't have it figured out, and they're not going to have it figured out. And some of you have been in the church 1 or 2 years and you're doing amazing. You're doing outstanding. But let's stay on the old path together tonight. Would we pray together? Would we find a place to pray and lift our voices and talk to Him? By Your presence, I'll keep my sleeve length where they need to be. I'll throw out some things that need to be thrown away. I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll repent. Come on, somebody. I'll pray for those that hurt me. I'll dress holy at church and at home. Come on. Body's a temple. Come on. I won't cut things that need to be cut. I won't paint things that need to be painted. Come on. I want to be pleasing to God. Come, this place and fill me.
personal.